Psalm 97, and I want to start reading in verse number 1. My text is going to be verse number 10, but I'm going to read through the whole chapter because it's all important and it's all relevant and it can all be applied to the message this morning. Psalms 97 and verse number 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about Him, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. A fire goeth before Him, and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world, the earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship Him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Verse 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this opportunity to preach Your Word this morning. And I, Lord, ask God that You would fill me this morning with Your Spirit, that I might speak only the words that You would have me to speak. And Lord, I pray that You take this feeble message, Lord, and Lord, I pray that You would turn it into a mighty message, Lord, in this time and in this hour, Lord. And I pray that You would, Lord, cause our hearts to be touched, to be, Lord, convicted by Your Word. And Lord, I pray, God, that if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, that this morning would be the day that they get that matter settled once and for all. Lord, help me, Lord. I can do nothing without You. And Lord, I can't preach this message, Lord, this morning without Your help. Lord, please set me aside. Fill me and use me, Lord. I want to exalt You. I want to bring honor and glory to Your name today. And Lord, I pray that Your people would be blessed and encouraged. Lord, we need help this morning. And Lord, we look to You. In Your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to preach this morning on how to hate evil. How to hate evil. I have a few pages of notes this morning. I hope I can get through them all. I heard about one preacher who he got up to preach Sunday morning, and he had his notes with him, and somebody had opened the windows in the church, and a breeze was blowing through there, and the breeze blew his notes out the window. And he sat there for a minute, and he's finally told his people, he said, this morning, two people knew what I was going to say, myself and the Lord. Now only the Lord knows. Well, it just so happens that the message flew out the window and a cow ate it up, and the poor cow went dry. So it wasn't a very good message anyway. And so I hope this isn't going to be dry this morning. And I'm going to try and stay with my notes. I don't want to keep you here very long. And I'm going to preach on how to hate evil. How to hate evil. I don't think we hate sin like we should. I think most Christians on their best day will try to avoid sinning against God. Amen? And we should avoid sinning against God. We should not go looking for trouble. Amen? The Bible teaches us that we're to depart from evil. And I believe as Christians we should stay as far away from sin as we can. But you know, it's not enough for us to just try to steer clear of sin. That's just a starting point. That you got a new believer in Christ. I mean, that's a starting point in their life. Just stay away from those bad influences. Just stop listening to that bad music. Don't watch those TV shows and don't do those things that you did before. Stay away from those influences. That's just a starting point. I believe this morning that God wants us to take our separation and sanctification a step further. I believe God wants us to hate sin like He hates sin. Now, I know hate is a strong word. And I know a lot of Christians today don't want to think about that particular aspect of God's character, because it's just easier and more comfortable for us to talk about the love of God. And God is love. Make no mistake about it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I believe that. God loves you and me this morning. But at the same time, He hates the sin in our lives. You see, God is 100% holy. There is no unrighteousness in Him at all. The Bible says in verse 2, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. Verse 6 says, the heavens declare His righteousness. God is holy. And because He is 100% holy, He loves righteousness and He hates evil. Turn with me to Psalm 45. And we're going to be doing some turning, not too much, but we're going to look at some verses this morning. Psalm 45, and look at verse 6. And I'm going to read verse 6 and verse 7. Talking about God's holiness, God's righteousness. The Bible says there, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That's a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. Turn over with me to Psalm 11. Psalm chapter 11 and verse 5. Psalm 11 verse 5. And I'm going to read through verse 7. Psalm 11 and verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. The Bible says a righteous Lord loveth righteousness. God loves righteousness and He hates wickedness. If God did not hate evil, He would not be righteous. And if He wasn't righteous, He would not be God. But I'm here to tell you this morning that He is God, and He is righteous, and He does hate evil, and so also should we. In the message this morning, we're going to learn how to hate evil. You know, the Bible teaches us how to hate sin. It's amazing what we can learn from the Bible if we would just pick it up and read it and study it. The Bible teaches us how to hate sin. I think one of the reasons why we don't hate sin like we should is because we fail to realize how much God hates sin. Before we go any further this morning, we need to just stop and recognize how offensive, obnoxious, and obscene our sin is to God. Our sin is repulsive, repugnant, and revolting to God. Our sin is hideous, horrible, and utterly horrid in the eyes of God. Our sin is dreadful, detestable, and disgusting to Him. Our sin is obscene, odious, and objectionable. Our sin is ghastly, grisly, and gruesome. Our sin is sordid, shocking, and sickening. Our sin is nasty, noisome, and nauseating. Our sin is awful, atrocious, and an abomination to Him. God hates our sin. He loathes our adulteries, blasphemies, heresies, hypocrisies, idolatries, sorceries. God is not pleased with our fornications, emulations, evil communications, seditions, and perversions. God has appalled our lying, cheating, conniving, coveting, complaining, backbiting, murmuring, stealing, gossiping, striving, fighting, whispering, envying, reveling, and evil surmisings. God is grieved by our bitterness, drunkenness, lasciviousness, laziness, frowardness, foolishness, stubbornness, selfishness, and uncleanness, and worldliness. God hates our arrogance, our lust, our pride, witchcraft, our variance. He hates it all. Everything in our lives that is wrong and in opposition to His holiness, He despises. God hates our sin with a perfect and holy hatred. Our sin is offensive to Him. He is not at all pleased with our sin. You say, this is a hard message, Pastor. This is difficult. This is hard. Well, we live in a day and age of soft Christianity, amen? And we need some hard preaching today. We need more hard preaching like this. And every once in a while, it's good just to think and remember and remind ourselves that God is holy and that God hates sin. God hates our sin with a perfect and holy hatred. So how come our sin doesn't bother us like it bothers God? Why is that? How come our sin doesn't bother us like it bothers God? How can we find our sin so appealing, so appetizing, so agreeable, so attractive? How can we welcome sin into our lives every day knowing that our sin offends God? How can we continue to feed it, pamper it, and make excuses for it when God has condemned all unrighteousness, all ungodliness, all uncleanness as evil and something that He detests? How can we take such pleasure in our sin knowing that God hates it with a perfect and holy passion? I believe it's because we are not fervent in our love for Him. We tolerate sin in our lives because we love our sin more than we love the one who paid the penalty for our sin to free us from its power. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. If we really love the Lord like we should, we would not waste our time in sin. We would live to please Him every moment and every day of our lives. God wants us to love Him more than we love our sin. That's what God is asking us to do this morning. He's asking us to love Him more than we love our sin. And the more we fall in love with Him, the less we'll want to sin. We'll never stop our sinning until we learn to hate evil. And we'll never learn to hate evil unless we get close to God. The Bible says in Psalm 97, verse 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. How much do we love God this morning? I mean, how much do we really love the Lord this morning? Are we fervent in our love for Him? Can we sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and mean it? Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. The real test of our love for Him is not in how much we hate sin and disobedience in the lives of other people. It's how much we hate sin and disobedience in our own lives. We can be pretty intolerant of somebody else's sin. Amen. We're good at that. But how intolerant are we about our own sin? We don't have any problem getting on the sodomites for their sin. Amen. We pick on the sodomites. And sodomy is an abomination to God. You can mark it down, and the Bible says so. It is an abomination to God. But you know the sin of lukewarmness is just as much of an abomination to God as the sin of sodomy? A Christian who's not hot and on fire for God makes God just as sick as a person who's living in gross sin and immorality. We need to learn to hate sin in our lives. And we can do that by getting to know God in a more intimate and personal way. We don't hate sin like we should. We don't hate evil like we should because we fail to recognize that our sin is offensive to God. We don't hate evil like we should because we are not fervent in our love for the Lord. We don't hate sin like we should because we don't fear the Lord like we should. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, by mercy and truth is iniquity purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. A person who fears God is going to stay away from sin, because they recognize that God is holy and that He cannot allow sin to go unpunished. Sin separates us from God. Whether you're a lost person here this morning or whether you're a saved person here this morning, if there's sin in your life, you are separated from God. Now that if you're a saved person, that it doesn't mean that you're going to hell if you've sinned. It means that your fellowship has been severed. But for a lost person, they're at enmity with God, the Bible says. They need to be reconciled to God. But sin separates us from God. And when we choose to live in sin, we are cut off from God's power and God's presence in our lives. Listen, there's no fellowship. There's no fruit. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no praise. There's no answered prayer in our lives. When we pray, it's like the ceiling is brass. Our prayers don't even reach higher than the ceiling when there's sin in our lives. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God is not going to hear my prayer. Sin brings upon us the judgment of God. You know, I'm afraid to stop living right this morning because I fear the chastening hand of the Lord. I know if I stop living right tomorrow and if I go off into sin, God is going to do everything that He can to bring me back into a right relationship with Him. Just like a loving father would go and try to bring back his wayward son. The Bible says in Hebrews, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and correcteth the son in whom he delighteth. Listen, God doesn't believe in time out. Amen. That's a new thing. God doesn't believe in no time out. When God disciplines his children who are in sin and who are away from him, it's going to hurt. It's going to sting. It's going to leave a mark. You know, I'd rather just stay on his good side. Amen. That's the safest place to be. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. We need to fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord tendeth to life. What we need in Christianity today is a healthy fear of God. We don't fear him like we should, and because we don't fear him like we should, we don't hate evil like we should. You know, there was a time in this country's history when its citizens feared God. But you know, that day has long since passed. There's no respect or reverence for the holiness and power of God in America anymore. There's barely any respect or reverence for the holiness and power of God in Christianity anymore. We've gotten so far away from the old-time religion. We've gotten so far away from the old-time way. We've gotten so modern in our methods and worldly in our worship. We've forgotten who the God of the Bible is. My Bible says that God is a consuming fire. Verse 3, the Bible says, a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. That's the God we're dealing with this morning. We're not dealing with the man upstairs. That's wicked to call him that. We're not dealing with Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. We're dealing with the holy, righteous Creator and sovereign God of this universe. He's a God to be feared. We don't need new Bible versions, new Christian books, new church buildings, or fresh ideas. What we need is an old-fashioned fear of God in our hearts today, because we'll never hate sin in our lives until we learn to fear the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. The key to hating evil this morning is fearing the Lord. Now you show me a person who fears God, and I'll show you a person who hates evil. We don't hate sin like we should because we don't fear the Lord. We don't hate sin like we should because we don't understand God's forgiveness. A proper understanding of God's forgiveness will cause us to hate sin and eschew evil. David wrote in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. David was a man after God's own heart, was he not? David was a man who abhorred wickedness and sin. David had such a close walk with God that he loved the things that God loved, and he hated the things that God hated. Look at Psalms 119, chapter 119, and verse 104. Psalms 119, 104. This whole chapter, every verse, talks about the Word of God, God's precepts, God's commandments, God's laws, God's statutes. Every verse you'll find the Word of God lifted up on high. Look what it says in verse 104. David writes, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Look at verse 113. He says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. See, why did David hate evil with such a passion? David hated evil so passionately because he had a proper understanding of God's forgiveness. Look at Psalm chapter 33. I'm sorry, Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 and 2 and verse 5. The Bible says there, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. The Bible says, to whom much or to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. But to whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. David had been forgiven much, and because he had been forgiven much, he loved God much, and because he loved God much, he hated evil much. You know, if you study the life of Jesus and study the ministry of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, you'll find that not one person in the Gospels who had their sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, who Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee to," not one of those persons ever went back to their old lifestyle of sin and shame. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, when she got a taste of that living water, she did not go back to her old life. She began a new life. She never went back. The woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8, they were about to stone her. They were about to stone her for the sin of adultery. And Jesus began to write in the ground, and one by one, those men who were accusing her dropped their rocks and left, and it was just her and Jesus standing there all alone. And Jesus said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" And she said, "There's none, Lord." He said, "Go and sin no more." And she got up that day and she left, and I don't believe she ever went back to that old way of life. I don't believe she went back to her old life of sin. I believe she was changed. She never looked back from that moment on. I think about the man possessed by devils in Mark chapter 5 who was naked and had his dwelling among the tombs and cut himself and was crying in the tombs night and day when Jesus came to where he was and cast out those demons. And the Bible says that he was clothed and sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. God had forgiven him his sins. And the Bible says that when Jesus was asked to leave that part of the country, he was getting in the boat with Jesus, and Jesus had to stop him and say, "No, you go home and tell your friends, your family, you publish in your town, in your city, the great things that I have done for thee." He never went back to his old way of life. You think a month later, 2 months later, that he was back in those tombs and back in that same lifestyle that he was living before he met Jesus? No. Why? Because he had been forgiven. I think of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. He was a man who was a publican. He was dishonest. He was a cheater. He was a conniver. He was an evil man. And he climbed up in that sycamore tree to see Jesus that day. And Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, you're coming down. You come down. I'm going to your house today." And he went to Jesus' house. He had supper with Jesus and he got saved. I'm telling you what, his life changed. He wasn't the same person after that. God forgave him. And he started a new life. And he changed his way of living. He began to make amends for the wrongs that he had done, for the people that he had cheated. He said, "I'm going to restore fourfold to those who I have cheated." He said, "I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor." His life was changed. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast 7 devils. You think she ever went back to her life of sin and shame? No. She knew there was something better. In fact, when Jesus rose again, she was the first person that he appeared to. She loved Jesus. She was never going to turn her back on him. Why? Because he had forgiven her. Why did these people turn their backs on their wicked lifestyles once and for all to follow Christ? Because he had forgiven them. Their guilt had been removed. They had been cleansed and made whole. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And a true understanding of God's forgiveness will cause a person to hate their sin with a passion. A person who has been forgiven by God for all their sins, transgressions, iniquities, and trespasses that they have committed against Him will have a different attitude towards unrighteousness than before. When we understand that God's only begotten Son, who was sinless, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When we understand that on the cross He took our sins upon Himself, and that because the sins of the world, past, present, and future, were laid upon His shoulders, God the Father turned away from His Son because He is of purer eyes than to behold evil and can't stand to look on iniquity. When we understand that all that God's forgiveness involved and what it means and that it's free, when we understand the pain and the suffering that Christ endured for us to purchase our salvation with His own blood, when we come to understand God's great love and unfailing mercy and matchless grace and the forgiving of all our sin, when we truly understand the power of forgiveness, we'll never want to sin again. We need to recognize this morning that our sin is offensive to God. May God help us to see our sin as He sees it. May He help us to acknowledge it, confess it, and forsake it. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not that bad, or the sin that I'm committing, oh, it's not that bad. It's one of those little white sins. You're deceiving yourself. All unrighteousness is sin. The Bible says the very thought of foolishness is sin. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you can handle your sin, that you can pamper it, that you can make excuses for it, that you can handle it, because you can't. We can't. I can't. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 12 of our text in Psalms 97 says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. We need to remember this morning that God is holy. God hates sin. God hates our sin, my sin, and your sin. And God is asking us now to acknowledge our sin, confess it, and forsake it. The Bible says, whoso covereth their sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. We're going to sing a song of invitation in just a few moments. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, maybe there's somebody here this morning God's spoken to. God's pointed out some sin in your life. Some sin that you've pampered and tried to make excuses for, but the Holy Spirit's convicted you about this morning and has told you and made it clear to you that you need to get that right. Take care of it now because you can't handle it. God hates it. God loathes it. God detests it. And you can't have a right relationship with Him unless that sin has gotten taken care of in your life. You can't go forward in your Christian walk unless that sin is dealt with. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. I'm not going to do that. But you know who you are, and God knows who you are, and God knows where you're at. I want to ask you this morning, when we begin to sing the song of invitation, to come, to get that sin right, confess it, forsake it, and deal with that. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're a Christian here this morning and there's sin in your life, you can have mercy, you can find forgiveness, you can find cleansing, you can find revival, reviving, if you will come and get that sin right. If there's somebody here this morning that's not saved, maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You've never been born again. And you would like to come this morning and make a profession of faith. You would like to come this morning and find out how you can have your sins forgiven and washed away in Christ's blood. If that is your condition this morning, I want to encourage you to come. As soon as we begin to sing the song of invitation, come and get that matter settled. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Your sin is offensive to God. Your sin has separated you from God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have not received God's free gift of eternal life, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior yet, I want to encourage you to do so this morning. Don't leave this building until you make sure that you've got that matter settled. And is there anybody here this morning who say, I'm not saved, I don't know Christ as my Savior, please pray for me. I'm not sure where I'd go to where I'd go if I died today. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. please pray for me. Is there anybody here that would raise their hand this morning and say, please pray for me, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. I know there's sin in my life, and I want prayer. Please pray for me. Anybody at all? We're going to turn in our hymnals this morning to hymn 336. And if God spoke to your heart, please come. There is a fountain filled with blood. The altar is open. You can pray right in your seat. But whatever God is leading you to do, I want to encourage you to do. This thing about holiness is real. This thing about sin is real. Sin is destroying homes, families, churches, lives, everywhere. And God hates it. And if there's sin in our lives this morning, we need to get that right so that we can move on and go forward in our Christian walk. 336, there is a fountain. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, please come to this fountain and be washed in the blood of Jesus. Be saved and have your sins washed away forever, never to be brought up, never to be remembered again. Hymn 336, there is a fountain. this morning, and thank you for the work, Lord, that you've done in my life this past week, Lord, and pointing out some things in my life that weren't right, some things that you weren't happy about. And Lord, I pray, God, this morning, God, as we leave this place, as we leave this church, God, Lord, that our hearts would be sensitive and soft to the Holy Spirit's conviction in our lives, Lord, that we might, Lord, see our sin as you see it, Lord. And when you point things out in our lives that should not be there, God, may we be sensitive enough and, Lord, willing to yield enough, Lord, that we might get those things right and taken care of, Lord, and not allow that sin to affect our relationship, our fellowship with you, Lord. Bless the services throughout this this day, Lord, Sunday school and youth group and the evening service to come. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for what you're going to do, and we thank you so much for what you've already done. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. You are dismissed. God bless every one of you.